Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we're in the middle of our December noise. Help us to hark, Lord, to listen. Listen to the good news the angels announced that night. Holy Spirit, open our ears and our hearts to hear again that a Savior has been born for us. And Lord, that real peace has arrived in Jesus. Father, as we open up your word this morning, let your glory quiet our fears. Let it surround us with peace that only Jesus can bring. And it is in his name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, well, hark the herald angels sing. I mean, I sang to John earlier. I won't sing it to you today. I'm excited about today because everybody know what the word hark means. I just said it, right? It means listen up. So everybody hark right now for the next little while. So back in, I don't remember what it was. I think it was 2004. I had just arrived at Al-Udeid Air Base. I wasn't one of the lucky ones that got to stay in Qatar. I was lucky enough to get forwarded to Afghanistan. And when I was waiting for the plane, you know, we were thinking, all right, we're gonna ride in style. In Air Force terms, that means a C-17. No. We were lucky enough to get put on a C-130. Now, if anybody's familiar with the C-130, they fly low and slow, and they're loud, so loud. So here I was. Everybody has, you know, their hearing protection in, just because it's loud and you want to try to get some sleep on this six-hour flight in the same region, just because it's so slow. That's how long it takes. But somebody had noise-canceling headphones. They're like, hey, you want to give these a shot? I'm like, yeah, I do. And if they're good, I'm just going to steal them from you because that's what we do. All right, so I put these on, and there's noise all over the place, right? I don't know if you've ever been in a C-130 before or if you've been around any type of airplane that is the turbo propeller, has four of them. They're just ridiculously loud. So even inside the cabin, it's still super loud, right? So I put these on, and before I turn it on, I can still hear all this noise, right? And then you hit this button, and I don't know what kind of weird wizardry happens, but everything goes quiet. It was crazy. Everything went absolutely quiet. Now, here's where it's a little crazier. The peace that I felt wasn't because of anything spectacular. It's just because I had noise-canceling headphones on. So when we think of our lives, right, there's chaos maybe going on in our lives, there's maybe this is a hard time for us, whatever it is, putting on noise-canceling headphones doesn't change the reality, but it does show who is surrounding us. So if you think of noise-canceling headphones as Jesus, he is the one that cancels out all the noise and protects us and helps us and really just helps us get through whatever it is that we're trying to go through. He quiets the noise for us. You know, every December we might sing, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And as I mentioned, hark means listen up. Now the angels weren't just there to sing pretty notes or do anything like that. They're announcing a reality that overrules the noise, right? Just like those noise-canceling headphones canceled out the reality, right, with something else, something much more beneficial. The engine of a broken world. And what happens? Heaven, noise-canceling headphones, Jesus interrupts it. He interrupts it for something that is much more true, because the peace arrived in the person of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at three passages today. I don't know why I held up four fingers just now. We're going to look at three passages today. We're going to look at Luke 2, Isaiah 52, and Colossians 1. And we're just going to dig right into it. We do have quite a bit of scripture this morning. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, it says, "In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock." This doesn't sound super glamorous, right? Night shift. I don't know if anybody's ever worked night shift, right? There's maybe no reserved parking. They're just there. They're just chilling, taking care of the flock. Maybe you drive a snowplow when the roads are empty. Maybe you are one that has fed a newborn at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? Or maybe you have a new kitten found in the middle of the road, and it meows at 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if that's true, but just thought I'd throw that in there. Right? We have chaos in our life. And then we move on to verse number 9. "Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." So if you think of angels, you think that they look like, you know, like pudgy babies with wings. This verse will change that for you. The glory of the Lord didn't bring cozy vibes. It dropped them to the ground. It dropped them to the ground. Now, fear is a sensible response, right? Fear is a sensible response when the infinite, right? When God is shining on our lives. And we went, whoa, right? We always hear the term, perhaps, you know, fear of the Lord. You know, the first word of the gospel is often what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So take a look at Luke 2, starting in verse 10. "But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord.'" Good news, great joy, all people. And then that little phrase for you. Now the announcement is both global and personal at the same time. And we go to verse number 12. "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Now the sign does look what we might expect. It's what, not a palace, and it's not some, you know, just beautiful structure. No. He's just chilling in a manger. It's like a feeding trough. And heaven then doubles down on the surprise in verse 13. "Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors.'" Now, the order matters here, right? Glory to God is the headline. Peace on earth is the result. Glory to God is the headline. Peace on earth is the result. And when God is glorified as God, and when we stop pretending to be our own Savior, the peace that we keep chasing finally arrives. I'll leave that up on the slide for you for a little bit. When God is glorified as God, and when we stop pretending to be our own Savior, the peace that we keep chasing finally arrives. Now, the angels aren't singing some vague hope, right? They're not, it's not vague. They're announcing peace. They're announcing peace that is found in a person, right? Jesus. Anybody ever see, everybody here, I'm sure, have seen a snow globe, right? I tried to bring one, but apparently we don't have one. Then I was going to get one of those ones that you fill up with air, you know, and they just get all crazy for your front yard. Couldn't even find one of those. So think of a snow globe, right? And you have this snow globe, and then, you know, you shake it up, and then all the snow in it just kind of scatters all over the place, and it just looks like it's falling, right? And that oftentimes feels like our life, right? Our life is in the middle of that chaos with all the snow just falling. And then what happens when we just set it down and we just leave it alone for a little while? that snow just kind of beautifully falls. And then after a while, I don't know, you know, 1, 2, 3 minutes, whatever it is, the snow is now back on the bottom of the snow globe. So in our life, we're constantly shaking the snow globe. And instead of allowing God to just hold us and just set it down and just surround us, we just keep shaking the snow globe. But when we set it down and we let God take over our life and just do what he wants us to do, that snow just starts falling, and by eventually, it's super calm. Right? And that's what it's like to have Jesus. The gospel doesn't pretend that life never gets shaken. Right? I mean, we all have had a part of our life in some form or fashion just be shaken to the core. So God doesn't pretend that that doesn't happen. We have to trust in him, and when we trust in him, that's where peace begins. When we trust in him, that's where peace begins. Centuries before the shepherds heard a choir, Isaiah saw a courier. Check out Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald, who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now, the messenger isn't beautiful because, you know, you got a pedicure. Now, his feet are beautiful because he's bringing the good news. He's bringing the good news. You know, the exiles often wondered, has God forgotten us? And the prophet answers with a picture. Watchmen stand on city walls, scanning the horizon, and then he sees, sprinting over the ridgeline, he waves and shouts, your God reigns. Your God reigns. The king hasn't been dethroned. He's returning. We move to verse 8. The voices of your watchmen. They lift up their voices, shouting for joy together, for every eye will see when the Lord returns to Zion. Now check out these verbs in here. Proclaims peace, brings good news, proclaims salvation, says your God reigns. And Isaiah uses the language of the gospel. The Apostle Paul then borrows that in Romans 10:15 when he talks about evangelism. He says, and how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Before Christmas is a season, it's a declaration. Our God reigns, and his reign has arrived in Jesus. So before Christmas is a season, it's a declaration. Then we move on to verse 9 in Isaiah 52. Be joyful, rejoice together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Now, even broken parts of the choir are invited to join in. Take a look at verse 10. The Lord has displayed his holy arm in the sight of all nations. All the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. So Luke says the shepherds saw the glory of the Lord. Isaiah says the nations will see the salvation of God. That's what we're talking about in verse 10, right? The people will see, the nations will see the salvation of God. You know, I have shoes on, right? Everybody knows that I wear dudes, almost exclusively dudes or Crocs, whatever. No big deal. Maybe it is kind of a big deal. Right, just shoes, regular shoes. Maybe you wear tennis shoes. Maybe you wear boots. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. Right, and there's nothing fancy about them, right? These are old. FYI, they're not very good in the wintertime, but I still wear them, right? There's nothing fancy about these shoes. But what's cool about these shoes is when I listen to what God is doing, these shoes and these feet become beautiful. Why? Because it's proclaiming the gospel. It's bringing the gospel to people. All right, same with your shoes. Or Amanda's flip-flops that she wears even in the wintertime. Love you. right? Doesn't matter what's on our feet, it matters where they're moving to. And if we're moving to somebody to share the gospel with somebody, then our feet become beautiful because of what they're bringing. The messenger's beauty is not in style, but availability. God is still looking for people with gospel feet. You may not preach on a stage, but you can carry a message down a hallway, across a driveway, or to a hospital bed. Each one of us can do that. You've heard me say it 1,000 different times. You know, being a member of the body, or being a missionary, doesn't mean that you have to stand up here and preach. It just means that we have to do what God has told us to do, specifically in Matthew, right? The Great Commission is to go out and preach the gospel to all nations, to everybody, right? And that's when we wrap our feet and just get after it. Take a look at Ephesians 6, 15. And your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. Right? So your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. Are we ready to rock and roll? Are we ready to get out there and share that message with people? The angels declare peace on earth. Isaiah proclaims peace from the mountains, and Paul then explains how all this is possible in Colossians 1, starting in verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So this is the deep end of the pool here. All the fullness of God lives in Jesus. He's not God's assistant. He is God in the flesh. All the fullness of God lives in Jesus. He's not the assistant. He is God in the flesh. So through him, God reconciles everything to himself. The cross is God's mission to make all the broken parts right. I don't know about you, but I got a ton of broken parts. And I'm so thankful for what he did on the cross to take all those broken parts. Man, what a relief. What a blessing it is. Take a look at verses 21 and 22. Paul keeps going here. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, as expressed in your evil actions. But now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. So before Christ, we were alienated. We were alienated. The problem was not only around us, it was within us. Right? It wasn't just around us, it was within us, right? You've heard, the heart is the most deceitful thing that we've got, right? So if we follow our heart, we're just going to be following a bunch of deceit. We have to follow Jesus. But Jesus took our place, bore our sin, rose in victory. That's good news. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So peace with God is possible because God gave himself at the cross. Peace with God is possible because God gave himself at the cross. You know, when I was born, well, when all of you were born, you received a birth certificate, right? You received a birth certificate. And throughout our life, you know, we also received another certificate, right? Certificate of debt, right? And that certificate of debt, you know, as we continued to grow and grow and grow, that certificate of debt continued to grow, right? A bunch of things crazy in our life, right? So here, certificate of death, debt presented to me, pride, envy, dishonesty, greed, and so many more things in my life, right? And they just keep piling up. Oh, man, this isn't something that you want to hang on a wall, right? This is gross. But this is, we all have one of these. We all have one of these, and it's just gross. But the cool thing is on May 14th, 1995, I finally recognized Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, he erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. So he took all of my debt, and he just said, you know what? You're good. Took it all. So now I know I've talked about this before. When we look at the cross, like, do we understand the magnitude of what he did? Like, I look at the cross, you know, I see crosses all over the place, right? And you just kind of look at it in passing, you maybe just walk by, don't even think twice. But you stop and you look and you see your certificate of debt has been paid in full, that should really make you want to stop and be like, oh, man. And he did that for everybody. For everybody. And then you get paid in full. But you have to believe, right? You have to accept and you have to believe. And it is paid in full. Biblical peace is more than the absence of conflict. It's everything, you know, going on in our life. Biblical peace, the peace that we have because everything's been paid in full, isn't the absence of conflict. Right, we're still going to have conflict. We're still going to have struggles. We're still going to have challenges. And we're still going to have health issues. We're still going to have all of these different things in our life, but it's more than the absence. The Hebrew word shalom means wholeness or integration. So if you think of like a wheel, right, a wheel with spokes, you know, if everything is just the way it's supposed to be, all the spokes are, you know, lined up and tightened exactly how they're supposed to be, that center hub is very strong. It will hold, you know, the tire or whatever it is. It'll hold it. But if one of those pieces start getting loose or one of them breaks, then the entire integrity of the wheel is going to start going kind of haywire. Jesus is the center. He's the hub that holds everything together. Right? He holds every single thing in our life together. Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. All things hold together because of him. And that is peace is both vertical and horizontal. Vertical peace is reconciliation with God. Take a look at Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And horizontal is the way reconciliation spills into relationships. Romans 12:18, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I'm going to read that one more time. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I say that three times because I get it. It's hard. It can be a challenge to live at peace with everyone. I don't know, did anybody have any crazy uncles over for Thanksgiving, right? It's going to be kind of hard to live at peace with everyone. But that's what God's telling us to do. Remember, biblical peace is more than the absence of conflict. Vertical peace empowers horizontal pursuit. We do not make peace with God by trying to be nicer to our neighbors. We receive peace with God through Christ, and then we seek to be peacemakers in a world that is constantly shaking the snow globe. We don't make peace with God by trying to be nicer to our neighbors. We receive peace with God through Christ. And then we seek to be those peacemakers. So many of us carry anxiety. Whoa, I didn't know those were twinkles. Many of us carry anxieties. Maybe we have deadlines that are stacked up, bills that are getting stacked up. We have a bunch of things that make us really anxious. The peace of Christ doesn't pretend chaos doesn't exist. It invites you to bring them to a God who does. And we talked about Philippians 4 before, but I'll read it again. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the word guard is a military term. If we look, imagine soldiers or, you know, other military folks posted at the door, right? They're there to guard it. The peace can stand watch where fear used to live. Maybe we have peace for strained. We need peace for strained relationships. Now, the holidays are a tense time, no matter who you are, no matter what your relationships might be like. And we need that peace. We absolutely need it. Gospel doesn't require us to pretend that harmful behavior didn't exist or doesn't exist. Remember Romans 12:18? If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That might mean initiating a conversation or owning, you know, some responsibility to a conflict or offering forgiveness. All that brings peace. Philippians 4:5 says, let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. In other words, live like Jesus. Show everybody his grace, love, and mercy. Not asking you to forget things that have happened or pretend like, you know, hurts or, you know, bad behaviors or whatever don't exist, but instead try to show as much grace as you can, love like Jesus. We grieve violence and injustice that, you know, are all over the headlines. Now, the Bible doesn't minimize those. It locates the world's hope in Jesus. Take a look at Ephesians 2. For he is our peace. He is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall for hostility in his flesh. The cross builds a new community where old hostilities die and a new family is born. Now the church becomes a preview of this new kingdom, right? When we accept Jesus, we try to, you know, have all of these old hostilities in our life die, maybe bad relationships or unforgiveness. We try to let all that stuff go and maybe forgive where forgiveness is needed, or give grace where grace is needed, or whatever the case is. So what? So we can then be born into this new family. Now, just be clear, once you accepted Jesus Christ, you've already been born again into this new family, this body of believers. When we think of it more in a figurative sense, we want to die from our old self and be born again. We want to get rid of all the stuff that's really held us back from living fully for Jesus. We're not the source of peace. We're the display case, right? We're the curio cabinet of peace. We are not the source. We just want to be able to display it to other people so they too want that same peace. And then what? They accept Jesus and everything's awesome. The angels are just having a hooting party up there because somebody accepted Jesus. Maybe we need peace because we're kind of wary in our faith. Maybe we're struggling sometimes in our faith. Maybe things have happened in our life that we just can't seem to get over. We keep asking, you know, like, why God, why is this happening? You know, are you even real? It shouldn't happen to me, or it shouldn't happen to this person, or whatever it is. Our faith is fading a little bit. Maybe you're tired. You know, the shepherds went to Bethlehem, saw the child and returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they've seen and all that they heard. It's peace, right? Even in the midst of the chaos, when we have Jesus, we have this peace. This peace that surpasses all understanding, right? We just read that. We have this peace, this amazing peace. And that's really what today's message is all about, right? Peace. Isaiah 9, the last part of Isaiah 9. So when you put this whole story together, when you put this, you know, this carol together, hark the herald angels sing. Hark means listen, right? Herald angels are the messengers of a true event. Glory to the newborn king is not a religious slogan. It's the rightful response to the one who makes peace by the cross and who will one day return to make all things new. Thank you. Isaiah 9, the last part of verse 6, he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. These names are not decorations, they're job descriptions that the king fulfills. You know, a friend once told me that when he sings Christmas carols, he often forgets the second verse, so he would just hum really loud until they got to the chorus. And many of us might treat peace that way. And we might feel some peace, and then we might forget about it. And we might just hum really loudly instead of sing that second verse. Maybe we have a difficult time singing the entire carol between, you know, I don't know, noon on Sunday all the way to 10:30 the following Sunday. In other words, we might be able to sing the carol somewhat well in church, but we have a whole lot of trouble and challenge when we're not here together. Jesus knows the words even when you don't. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing." God is a way better singer than we are. Way better. For me, that's not saying much, but for some, right? He's a way better singer than us. Maybe we often think that if God really loved us, he would announce his will on a billboard. Oh, who would like that every once in a while, right? To know exactly what God's will is for us so we didn't have to guess or maybe go down a wrong path thinking we were on the right path. No, just put it on a billboard. Let me know what it is. It's not what he does. He sent an angel choir to the shepherds and then sent his own son to the manger and then to a cross. Billboards fade. This does not. That does not. So how can we practice this? Before you look at your phone in the mornings, speak Luke 2:11 out loud. "Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Make it personal, right? A Savior was born for me. Maybe in lunchtime. Choose one place to be a messenger. Maybe send a note of encouragement. And at night, name the noise that tried to steal your peace. Name it. And tell God, man, don't let this happen. Take this thing that's holding me back. Just take it all from me. Maybe you need a snow globe on your desk or on your dresser or on whatever. Maybe you need that reminder of, you know, how the world can be chaotic and our lives are right in the middle of that snow globe. Maybe when you're feeling that struggle, you just shake it and then you just let it sit there for a few minutes and watch as the snow just fades away. And remember that God is the one just holding you tightly. When the shepherds returned to their fields, the angels didn't vanish. The praise kept going. Revelation gives us a glimpse of that final chorus. They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slaughtered and you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. So the peace that began in Bethlehem was purchased at Calvary and will fill the earth when the King returns. Amen. Amen. So until that day, keep singing those praises. Keep singing those carols. Don't stop. Let everybody you know where your peace comes from. Right, you've heard me say it before, and I will say it until the day I die. That message is too important not to share. Too important not to share. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for sending your Son, the Prince of Peace. Thank you that his blood was reconciled, made us new. Lord, teach us to hear your heralds, to trust your gospel, and to walk as messengers of peace. Lord, guard our anxious minds, heal broken relationships. Lord, make us a display for your coming kingdom. Lord, we give you glory in the highest and receive your peace on earth. Lord, help us sing through tears and laughter and fear and courage. Lord, we want to sing because we know where our peace comes from. That peace has a name. And that name is Jesus. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen.